Turning your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 25. Well, even me threatening to sing didn't get anybody up singing tonight. I tell you what. Let me take you to the place where we're at, David. You remember David had been running from Saul. David had the means of killing Saul, chapter 4 this. He chose not to. David was very gracious. He saw Saul as someone who was anointed. He got a lot of things from Saul he didn't deserve. Saul got angry at him, tried to kill him a time or two, try and pursue him right now. And David could have gave what he was getting, but he didn't. That's where you see a man after God's own heart. But now we're going to see a different situation that David gets into. This is a time when David's been, him and his men, he's got 600 men. They've been going around and they've been playing tag with Saul and watching what's going on. But in the meantime, there's a couple other things that the Bible tells us that he's been doing. There were some wild tribes around through there, and his men would fight them off and also protect some of the shepherds and their sheep. And so there would be times that they would see someone starting to attack a flock of sheep and some shepherds, and they would put a wall around them and protect them and keep them from losing any sheep. And he'd done this to several different groups of individuals. And so now we're going to come across one man that his flock had been protected by David and them kept from harm and kept from losing any sheep. And it's come to the time that they are going to shear their sheep. And of course, the time of shearing sheep was a time of prosperity for these guys. It's sort of like the old farmers around here used to be. In tobacco time, they would raise tobacco and do all the things, and they'd sell tobacco. And when they'd sell tobacco, then they'd have money for a little bit, and they'd gain money that they'd been working for all year long, and other crops as well. But that's one money crop that was here for a long time, and I don't think as much now as what it used to be. But the sheep shearing was the same thing. It was a time when all their work come to an end, and they were rewarded and they were able to sell things. It was a time of plentiful. And so they had plenty. So David thought that it would be a good time to ask Nabal, this rich man, if he would mind to spare a little bit for his men, because his men had protected him several times. And so you would think that he would be gracious and grateful. But not everybody is always grateful for what you've done. And so it angered David, because David had been good to Nabal, hadn't asked nothing in return, and then Nabal returned, treat him like that. And so we're going to pick it up and we're going to read. Then I want to come back and I want to bring a truth or two out, if you don't mind. And by the way, it was a tough time in David's life. Not making excuses for his anger, because he let his anger get out of control. But they just buried Samuel. So emotionally, he was put out. He was also put out by the fact that Nabal refused to give his men any food. He's also put off by Nabal, and he was put out by trying to feed 600 men and with resources. And he's also put down, because not only did Nabal reject it, but he also talked down about David. And he talked like, who is David? And what has David done for me? But the truth of the matter is, if David as a young lad didn't walk down into the valley against Goliath, Nabal wouldn't have had any riches. The Philistines would have had his flock, and he would have been poor. And a poor man. Sometimes we forget what people's done for us. And sometimes you'll find there's some, it's not what you did for me yesterday, what can you do for me just today? And quick as you do it for me today, and boy, I tell you what, we're turning out a good generation of people like that right now. It's never being grateful for what you've done. It's always, well, what can you do for me right now? And if you can't do for me right now, I don't want anything to do with you. That's sort of the way Nabal was. The word Nabal, names meant something. I don't know what his mom and dad was thinking when they named him, but anybody know what the word Nabal means? It means fool. And wouldn't you like for your parents to call you fool? And but he was a rich fool. He had a lot of money. That makes him a selfish fool many times. And here he was. He had abundance of stuff. He could have gave a little bit to David in gratefulness and thankfulness and gratitude. But did he? No. And you know, by the way, a lot of people treat God that way too. God blesses us all week long. We're able to take paychecks home. We're able to provide. We're able to have good things. And then it comes time to give back to God. That's what a tithe is, recognizing that it came from Him. And in gratefulness, give back to Him. And then we show our ungratefulness. We need to show our gratefulness. Anyway, look back, if you would, in chapter 25 and begin reading with me. And I'll probably stop along the way. May read a little bit more, but I'll just bring a truth or two from this. And verse 1, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David rose and went down into the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, means he had a lot of money. And he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance. You wonder, if she was so smart, why she would hook up with someone like Nabal. Can I say this, young ladies? Don't go with somebody just charming you. You can hook up sometimes and you can be a wise, beautiful girl. If you hook up with a fool, it'll make your life miserable. You better get to know who you're going to marry. And you better slow down. And so you need to be wise. And guys along with that too. Guys can do the same thing. Just ask Samson when you see him sometime. And you'll find out that guys can make some terrible choices too. Look on. It says, and she was a good woman of she was a woman of good understanding, a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. Churlish means that he was very harsh to deal with. You ever met somebody that was hard to deal with? Man, just brutal. They beat you down. They just say harsh things to you, hurt your feelings every time you try to deal with them. The Bible says, and he was evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. Well, that was one thing good going for him. He went back to Caleb. Remember Caleb and Joshua? He was of the house of Caleb. He should have learned from his grandfather or great-grandfather, whatever he was. He should have learned a little bit from Caleb and so forth. But here he was, very harsh man, rich man, harsh man to deal with. And we've all known those types. Verse 4, and David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that live in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace to thy house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand, and to thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, and they spake to Nabal, according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. In other words, David sent, and he was very gracious. He says to Nabal, he says, would you please be kind? to your son David? Would you be kind to my men? While all your shepherds were up on the hill in times when they could have been attacked and lost your sheep, lost your possessions, we made sure they didn't lose a one. Nobody bothered anything of yours because of our protection. And now we bring peace to your house, but we hear that they're shearing. Now we know there's a time when you're going to have plenty. Would you mind to just share a little bit with us and show your gratefulness for what we've done for your men while they've been up on Mount Carmel? And they ceased. Then in verse 10, the Bible says, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. In other words, they were talking like David was some runaway slave from Saul. And he says, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shares and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way, went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye up on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. So when David heard this, immediately David got mad. And when David got mad, he got so angry, he said, 400 of you grab your swords. We're going to Nabal's house. We're going to kill him, and we're going to shed his blood. That ungrateful fool, we've done all this for him, and he got so angry. Did you ever notice that that's when we get ourselves in trouble? When we get so angry and we react? Have you ever said something in anger that you wish you could took back? You ever done something in anger that you wish? Now, up until this time, David had been free of shedding innocent blood and shedded blood in anger. But now he's going to go kill Nabal because he's mad. He's insulted him. He put him off. He put him down in front of his men. He's probably thinking, why, you ungrateful fool. Everything we've done for you, and here I am, the anointed king, going to be king, and you can't give my men something to eat in time of prosperity? And he was so mad. And so that's why when we get into the Bible talks about us being slow to wrath, slow to speak, keep our tongue a little bit. I tell you, it never does you any good. I've done it before. Never does you any good to blurt out in anger. When you say something in anger, most of the time you wish you hadn't said it. When you do something in anger, most of the time you wish you hadn't have done it. And so therefore, the Bible says that we're not to be hasty in our spirit. Because I can understand why he will be upset. If you've ever been hurt by somebody, you understand what he's going for. His feelings was hurt. He felt that the person didn't appreciate anything he'd done for him. And he was upset. It hurt him to the core. I understand him being hurt. But you just can't lash out. And especially go about and kill him. And so he grabbed 400 men, put their swords on. He was going to go react. I read something about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, when you read him, he was an interesting young guy. Of course, I say young guy because he died in his 30s. He killed himself. He was a drunk. And he was so sad. Because what he did, and you know, most of the time when someone commits suicide, most of the time they do it in an instance of either anger or grief. And if they could take it back later, they probably would. I've said, and I've had to deal with a lot of people. I've had to face people. I've even had them sit in front of me, threatening to kill themselves, and have them try to talk them down and keep them from doing it. Most of the time you can tell. Some people just crying out for help. Most of the time, if they mean business, they do it. And it's hard. But a lot of times they do it just in a fit of anger. Alexander the Great probably did the same thing. But you know, Alexander the Great was a hothead. When you read his history, he had a childhood friend that was one of his generals called Cletus. Cletus one day they was all got together. They'd conquered something and one of the towns, and they'd won a victory, and they all was drinking and got drunk. And of course, Alexander the Great was a drunk, and he drunk a lot. His generals did too. And Cletus said something that insulted Alexander the Great. So Alexander the Great decided that he would just throw a spear at him just to let him know he didn't appreciate what he said, because he was mad. The only problem is he intended to miss Cletus with a spear, but he didn't, and killed him. Then he just got mad and lashed out at others because of what he had done in his anger. He was mad. David let his anger get above him. He was hurt. I understand. His feelings was hurt. He was hurt to the core. But he reacted the wrong way. Let's jump 400 of you, get your swords, and let's go. And so that's what they did. And that's what happened in verse number 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, in other words, one of Nabal's servants told his wife, Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night, or night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial." Son of Belial there means he's son of a wicked man. He was just a wicked guy, that a man cannot speak to him. In other words, when he was when Nabal was mad, when he had his mind, you couldn't talk to him. He's set on what he's going to do, and he's just going to do it, regardless of what anybody said. In verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me, behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all of this fella hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth to him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send." In other words, she says, she comes, she falls on the mercy of David. Now, 6 times she calls herself his handmaid. I think 12, 14 times she calls him her Lord. And so she shows reverence to David. She asks that David would take it out upon her. And she tells David, she said, "I didn't see your young men. I didn't see your young men when you sent them to our place." And she said, My husband is just what his name proclaims. He's folly. He's a fool. He's a son of Belial. He's a mean man. He's a wicked man. And he's got wickedness in his heart. And she said, "Therefore, I pray, let me speak." And so then in verse number 26, It says, now for my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought to my Lord, let it even be given to the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. So she comes to David, and she says, David, God sent me here. I'm here because you have been a good servant of God. You fought his battles. You have not shed innocent blood, but you're fixing to because of your anger. You're fixing to go do something you're going to regret, and that's going to stay with you the rest of your life. And she said, I pray, my Lord, that you would take this gift and recognize this gift as grateful unto you for what you've done, and recognize the service that you do, and know that one of these days you're going to have a sure house. In other words, you're going to sit on the throne, and we're confident you're going to be our king. And so she showed David the reverence that she needed. And then in verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. She said, let God deal with your enemies, not you. Don't you take vengeance in your own hand. Leave the vengeance up to God. And so she, of course, the Bible said she was a wise person. She, at first, in chapter verse 3, I believe, somewhere along there, said that she was wise. She was a beautiful woman, but she was also a wise woman. She had some smarts about her. She shows her wisdom here. She comes and gets in her position, and she's grateful to David for doing what he did. And she hates that her husband's been a fool, and she hates that her husband's acted like a fool. And so she comes, and she says, listen, said God sent me here that you would not take vengeance, but that you let God take vengeance upon his own enemies. And in verse 30, it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. So she said, David, she said, don't do this. If you do, when you become king, and I know you're going to become king, you'll regret this. You will have to remember that you have shed this blood, this innocent blood, without a cause, because you was angry. You also find that not only did you do that, but you're avenging these things instead of letting God avenge them. And he says in verse 34, for in very deed, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. So David, and by the way, he's talking about men. And he said, and basically what he's saying is, you know, if you hadn't have come, if you hadn't got me to my senses and said something to me, I was going to do something I regretted. I was going to go, and there would not have been, by morning light, there would not have been another man standing. I would have took care of the men of Nabal, and I would have went, and I took the things that I wanted because of his actions. Now, in verse 35, so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice. I have accepted thy person. In other words, you know, she's kind of like the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we get ready to do something, we're mad, we're harsh, then somewhere along the way the Holy Spirit comes and quietens us down and changes and gets us to change our heart. Go on down, verse 35. 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. That's what they would do a lot of times at shearing time. Have a lot of money, have a big party, everybody get drunk. Boy, always around them parties, good things happen. You can count on that all the time. But anyway, he held the feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Now let me say this. I don't know what happened to Nabal. Whether he had a stroke. Whether he got so angry that he blew a vessel. I don't know what. Whether he got angry. Whether he got scared. Whatever it was. But when she told him what she did, he was so upset that he became like a stone. He couldn't say nothing. He couldn't do nothing. And 10 days he was in that state. And he died. No doubt Nabal is in hell tonight. Still lashing out and gnashing his teeth. I wonder how many times he's reminded of his wickedness to David. But if you read the rest of the chapter, and I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, when he died, David sent men and asked Abigail to become his wife. And she married David. Very beautiful girl, smart girl. And you know the funny thing is? When David waited upon God to deal with it, David ended up with everything that Nabal had, including his wife and all of his possessions. Why? Because he thought better than to react upon his anger. I don't know what the result would have been had David went down there with his 400 men. And by the way, Nabal didn't have near 400 men. So them 400 men was going to wipe them out. Had he went down there and he slaughtered all those men, I don't know what God would have done. But that would have haunted David all his days upon the throne. And thank God that Abigail was sent and got him to think wisely. And so tonight I just wanted to share that story because all of us at times are in this position. All of us face things that we react to. Amen. We have to have time sometimes, and sometimes we need to let God deal with our hearts. But we need to let God just deal with the matters. That's why God tells us, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." I remember, I'll tell you this story and I'll close. I run across it the other day. Mom, I know Mom remembers it. I run across this, Mom. You gave me something the other day. And she had some older money or something that she wanted to sell, and I sold it for her. And inside the billfold was a check tore up. I don't know whether you knew that or not. It was tore up. It was for $114,000. $114,000. And Dad told me one time, he got into coal business. And he was working in coal. We was living in Nancy. And Dad, bless his heart, he could make money fast, and he could get rid of money fast. And Rick, to tell you, Rick worked with him for years on a car lot. Man, he could make some, sometimes he'd call me and he'd make some deals. I'd say, how in the world did he get that deal? Then next thing I know, make some bad decisions. But Dad got in coal business, and they worked in big money. And then this one guy down in Florida had bought some coal and gave him a cold check for $114,000. He had paid his workers, and he dug himself in a hole. don't know, Mom, I don't know if you remember all this or not. But he didn't have $114,000. He invested a lot of that money, already had it paid out, and depended upon that check being there. And the guy had wrote him a cold check and wasn't going to pay him. And somehow through the legalities of it, he couldn't collect it. He was so mad. And sometimes Dad get mad. And he had to borrow some money from Frank during that time because of the situation. But $114,000, imagine. I can't imagine owing somebody $114,000. What I would do. And by the way, he borrowed it and he paid it all back because Dad would pay his debts in that situation. And he did. But he told me, he said, I got so mad. He said, I got my pistol, and me and David McKee, a guy who lives down here, you probably remember David. David, he died of AIDS. One of the first cases of AIDS around here. He was a hemophiliac. He had to take blood transfusions. And he caught AIDS from taking blood. You remember David, don't you? And he lived down here up on the hill. And David was his deacon at the time. And they got in the car and they headed down to Florida. I believe it was David, if I remember right. And he said, I was so mad. He said, I was going to go in there and I was going to make him give me my money. And he said, I got down somewhere in Georgia. My anger, I was so mad. And I'll tell you, sometimes his anger. And he said, God got whipping me. He said, God got telling me, Bill, you're going to go down here and you're going to kill this man. And it's going to end up being a mess. No amount of money is worth what's fixing to happen. And Dad said, I pulled off. And David asked me, what are you doing? He said, I'm pulling off. And he said, I got down outside the road and I began to cry to God. And he said, I began to tell God that I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. I made up. Because I don't know how I'm going to do, get the money and pay the bills and do the things I need to do. And he said, God gave him peace. He said, I tore the check up. And he said, I got back in the car after praying there on the side of the road, me and David. I got back in the car and turned it around. David said, what are you doing? He said, I'm heading back to Kentucky. He said, that money's not worth it. And he went, and Mom's brother was able to loan him the money until he could work it out other ways. And he said, I paid every cent back that I had borrowed. He said, but if I had let my anger continue, I would probably be in prison right now because I was so upset. And so we need to understand that we've all been in places like David. We could all react badly. But if we learn to slow down a little bit, take some time. You know, when I'm upset, I hate to argue. If I got a choice, I like to get away. Sometimes I don't like to say nothing. I'm the type, I figure if I don't say nothing, I'm better off. And sometimes, Chris will tell you, sometimes I just clam up. Because I know if I say something, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. And you know, words, somebody said, words don't hurt, words hurt. And you know what? Words is like, somebody gave an illustration one time. Words is like, once you've spoken them, they're like throwing a feather out a window in a windy day. You'll never pick all those feathers up. You can't ever take your words back. You can't ever take your action back. So what's best sometimes is, and that's what I try to do, is slow down a minute. Because when I blurt out, I usually always say things I wish I hadn't said. And so I understand where David's coming from. But my point is this. When David listened to reason and did it God's way, God took from him asking for a little donation, and he went, he took this wise, beautiful woman out of this setting that she was in under a fool's house. And no doubt, because she called him a son of Belial, and no doubt that she understood that he was a fool, because she'd seen his actions many times. And instead of giving him a little offering, when he obeyed God and did it God's way, God gave him the beautiful woman. And she comes, she laid at his feet. God gave him all the possessions Nabal had. And when she went back and told Nabal what done, he got mad and he couldn't speak a word. He turned like a stone. And he died in 10 days. It's always best to do it God's way. And let God take care of the matters in our life.